Now, I know I just said I made the sermon short. I suppose that's true. I wrote two of them, and they're both short. And you get both of them this morning. Aren't you lucky? Two for one Sunday here at St. Andrew's. I should have put that on the sign. So today, you will receive two sermons for the price of one offering. And if you aren't comfortable with that or thinking that that sounds too good to be true, then don't worry. We can take up a second offering. But all joking aside, there are two sermons today. Today is Epiphany Sunday, when the wise men come and visit Jesus. And the pulpit fall here in front of me depicts that, and our nativity scene on your right at the front depicts the wise men coming and visiting Jesus and the Holy Family and bringing their gifts. We celebrate these individuals who came from the east. They followed a star and they paid homage to Jesus, offering him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, the first sermon is one that you are familiar with. It is a story that we hear every Christmas, of the birth of Jesus, of shepherds, of angels, and of wise men. All who visit infant Jesus that night in the manger. And many a Christmas pageant demonstrates this very thing. Though the shepherds and the angels never appear in Matthew's gospel, and the wise men never make an appearance in Luke's. But on Christmas Eve, very often, churches throughout time have blended these two stories together to tell the tale of Jesus' birth. And it's a wonderful celebration. When the wise men arrive, they present the gifts to baby Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a treaty attributed to the Venerable Bede from the 7th century, we are told the following. The Magi are first named here. Malachor was described as an old man with white hair and a long beard. Gaspar was young and beardless with a ruddy complexion. And Balthazar as a black-skinned and heavily bearded. The gifts of the Magi are also interpreted. Gold represents an appropriate gift due to a king. Frankincense symbolized an oblation worthy of divinity, and myrrh testified to the Son of Man who was to die. Now, we recognize that these constructs don't hold up to academic scrutiny. We don't know what these individuals' names were, or what they looked like. There's no account of what they look like or their names in Scripture. But this is what tradition tells us about the wise men. And certainly the symbolism of the gifts endures and informs the story of Jesus. Epiphany, which we celebrate today, is the season of light. When we celebrate God's light to the entire world. That the wise men came is further evidence that God was doing something new with the birth of Jesus. God was declaring that salvation wasn't just available to Israel, but to all people. These wise men from the east were the first indication that God's intention was to welcome everybody in to the kingdom. There is something magical, if you will, about the wise men. There is a hint of mystery. There is something exotic about these individuals who come from the east, who follow a star. Three strangers who come and kneel before the King, Jesus Christ. Their gifts inspires our own gift-giving. The hymn, We Three Kings, which we're going to sing after the second sermon, inspires this fantastical image of the wise men. And it's a wonderful image to hold on to. A great reminder of how Jesus really did come to save all people. This is the story of the wise men or the magi that we enjoy. It's easy to hear, it's understandable, and it embodies us with an increased sense of wonder about the nativity story. And this is where the first sermon ends. Now, if you enjoy the pastoral image of these three wise men coming, visiting with baby Jesus, presenting their gifts, and you don't want to upset that image, you can go. You may not want to listen to the second sermon. You see, as I read this story from Matthew's gospel and its surrounding context, I wonder if we have sanitized the story a little too much. The story of the wise men is embedded within the political and religious intrigue of its time. There is an element of fear and opposition to the news of Jesus' birth. Not only was Herod frightened of this news, but so was all of Jerusalem. Herod calls together all the chief priests and the scribes, and he asks, "Who is this child? Who is this king that was born?" And they say, "Well, the prophet tells us." Herod had a secret meeting with just the wise men. "Go and find him and worship him, and then come back and tell me so that I can go and do that," he tells them. And we know, if we read beyond our story today, what Herod really did. Herod was not successful in removing the threat of Jesus that day. And we know that later the chief priests and those in power would once again plot to kill Jesus. And they would be successful the second time. But we stopped our reading today after the wise men are warned not to return to Herod, but to return by another path or another road. And what that leaves out from the story is the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt. In today's terms, we would say that Jesus was a refugee who fled his home because of political persecution. It also leaves out Herod's actions to root out and to kill this baby who he felt threatened by. And he carries out this order by ordering that all male children under the age of 2 should be killed. Matthew, in writing his gospel, was keenly aware of the political and religious realities of his time. And what we see with this second reading, or this second sermon, if you will, is that we quickly move away from the three wise men, their gifts, and the moments of adoration to a reality that is grounded in fear, political intrigue, and violence. And if we are honest, we recognize that the world has not changed a lot since the time of King Herod, when the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Today, wise men and wise women from the east, the west, the north, and the south still seek answers. Rulers of nations fear having their power taken from them. Individuals attack that which they do not understand. We are not so different from the shepherds, the innkeeper, the wise men, the rulers, or the priests who live when Jesus was born. The world still witnesses fear and hatred on a daily basis. But we are left with the question, Do we respond to fear the way that Herod and all of Jerusalem did? How do we respond to the fear that is present in our own lives, in our own world? Is the answer increased security and more guns? Do we need to put more money into our retirement accounts and less into our charitable givings? Do we close ourselves off from others because they are different? Or do we learn about them instead? This is the adult version of the wise men. It does not focus on the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It moves quickly from moments of adoration and wonder into a darker, murkier world of intrigue, deception, and violence. It's a sobering account of an event which occurs just shortly after Jesus was born. And if you find it upsetting, if it shatters your understanding of this event, it is only because we recognize the truth of the reality which Jesus was born into. Yet embedded within this reality is a profound truth that this is the world that God came into. A world dominated by fear, ruled by politics, and easily persuaded to violence. God came bringing love into a harsh reality. God became vulnerable, a baby, and lived with us because we needed to experience, and we still need to experience, what it feels like to be loved in such a way. And so when you are confronted by fear, when you witness the face of hatred, and when the darkness seeks to consume all that is around you, remember that God entered into the world, a dark world. God did so by being the light, a light for all people, a light which reveals an alternative way to live. We only need the courage to live in the light of God's love. The wise men, they went home by another road, because after meeting Jesus Christ and witnessing the light of the world, they were not the same. They went home different. They went home changed. The old road that had brought them to Bethlehem, to the foot of Jesus' cradle, was no longer sufficient. And so may it be for us. Let the story of the wise men be a reminder that, yes, we still do live in dark times. But let their example of gift-giving serve as a demonstration for how we too should give. Let the light they witness to be a reminder that the gospel is for all people. Allow the road they took home to be the road which you follow as changed people living in the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.